Kia ora. This program is brought to you by Wellington Access Radio. Get your voice heard.
Morena, welcome to the Quilted Bananas Show. I am Sian, and you're with the Fem Rants Show, and it is Sunday morning. So I have just driven in from Te Nainai, and there are still quite a lot of trees down in all sorts of places, and yesterday I was in front of the Hutt City Council, and there is this like amazing, horrifying sight where two trees have come up, and it's like, it's almost like the earth Papatūānuku is like a carpet, or like the whole earth has come up with them. And that's where we are at the moment, isn't it, whānau? So this first track, we love to start with a banger to wake you up and get you dancing in your kitchen or in bed or whatever it is. And this track I thought was a really great one to play. It's Miss Rose Valentina, and she is a fantastic local artist. She makes wonderful, wonderful music that we play very, very loud in our lounge and dance to with the windows open. And this track is about imagination, imagining something different.
If it takes a million baby steps, then I left my way to you. I'm on my way to you, learning resilience, baby steps, but I won't get left behind. Right, left, right, I'm a believer. What do you believe in? I believe that something good is coming, and I just gotta keep taking baby steps. Left, right, left, look in my finest. So timeless, tick. I'm the talk of the town. How do we know where we're going? How do we see when eyes can be deceiving? Oh, how do we know just how long the road is? Oh, how do we see the unknown using imagination? Spread the news, a storm is brewing. Black coffee, do you feel alive? Left, right, left, and overdrive. Oh, God, feel the rain on your skin, enchanting. True beauty comes from within, keep dancing. That's when you'll know where you're going. That's when you'll see, eyes were made for dreaming. Oh, that's when you'll know you're where you belong. Oh, that's when you'll see the unknowing. Using imagination, forever left, right, left, look at my finest. Imagination, forever left, right, left, I'm the talk of the town. Imagination, forever left, right, left, look at my finest. Imagination. Stars on the roof that glowed when I shine a little bright light. How lovely to think that we might have the power to bring blue skies on the cloudiest day and share a big smile with a perfect stranger. I picture a world where I'm safe to hold the lover in a galaxy not so far away. Using the imagination, forever left, right, left.
You are back with the Fem Rants Show with Sian Quinnell Torrington, and that was Miss Rose Valentina. And I would just like to do a plug for using a different music streaming platform, whānau. So we all know that Spotify is evil, but do we know how little Spotify pays the artists? Are we fully aware of that? Because I wasn't until I went to see Grace Petrie play in Ōtiputi Dunedin, and they were talking about how they got, I think it was 20,000 streams on Spotify of a song, and it was not enough money to buy a cup of coffee. So we love our artists, and we want our artists to be able to keep making work and art and music and comedy and all the amazing things that we do. So may I humbly recommend Bandcamp to you, which is an incredible music streaming platform, and it's where I follow Miss Rose Valentina. All of her albums are on there. Then people do posts and updates and all the rest of it. So it's a much more artist-centered platform, and they have, I think it's once a month, they have a day where if you buy the music on that day, the artist gets all of the money. Yep. So you can buy songs, you can buy albums, and then you can play them through your phone or wherever you like to play them. So that's my little plug. I mean, as people who know me know, I have many, many CDs, which is also a great way to buy artist music. So that's my little plug. Now, my second plug is that today there is an amazing queer workshop happening. So it's only 8 minutes past 10, and this is starting at 1. So you've got plenty of time to put something extremely glamorous on and go to this workshop. It is at the Douse Art Museum, and it's with Stephen Janiel Park. Now, Stephen Janiel Park is some kind of genius, in my view. They seem to be able to make anything out of anything. So they make the most absolutely extraordinary costumes, shoes, jewellery. Like, they will buy a leather jacket in the op shop and make it into a pair of shoes, and they just look like something that's come off the catwalk in Paris. And they are also extremely generous and inclusive, and so I have basically spent my weekend being a bit of a fangirl. This weekend I went to the opening on Friday, and there were dancers, and there was music, and there was food, because they invited all of their artist friends to collaborate. So all of these things that often don't happen in poncy art galleries, like food and music and dancing, and even saw someone's bum, which was very exciting. So so lots of exciting things happening in this show, and lots of kind of, how do I describe, anti-capitalist ways of thinking about dress and garments and what they mean to us. So Stephen does lots of visible mending, using found garments and re-dyeing them and taking them apart. So the workshop today is I'll just read the thing so I stop stumbling. Stephen Janiel Park will share his experience of discovering identity through dress and invite participants to do the same through gentle exercises of reflection. When dressing our bodies, we navigate an industry fraught with environmental, social, and ethical issues. How can we find joy and self-expression through the clothing that we wear? So the idea is that you bring an item of clothing that you love, that is significant to you, and also a piece of clothing that you don't mind sewing onto. So there'll be a little bit of creativity in there as well. This workshop is free, and it is from 1 till 4 today. And strongly recommend. It's a really amazing opportunity to connect with an amazing queer artist today on your Sunday. So Those are my plugs for this morning. And now we can move to what is happening live in the studio, which is that I have two wonderful guests here with me. And I'm just going to hand over and invite you to introduce yourselves. Morena.
Morena. Kia ora whānau. My name's Anna Dovey. I'm a comedian and failed marathon runner.
Oh, fantastic.
It's better than me. You gave it a go. Kia ora. My name is Megan Fisher. I am also a comedian, and my accent is from Canada, but I've been in New Zealand since 2014.
Amazing. I am a failed marathon runner in that I have never tried to do this thing. Yep. Yeah. Was it like failure in the middle of the marathon or?
Yeah, dead center, 22 Ks in. I fell and sprained my ankle. And
wow. Yeah.
Oh, no.
So I'm getting to the point where that's funny. So
oh, good.
That's personal growth.
That's good. That's good.
Quick. That's a quick turnaround.
And that's kind of comedy, isn't it? Well, what I've been told by people who've done that amazing comedy course is like using things from your real life and bringing it into comedy. And is that course where you two started or somewhere else?
Yes, so almost a year ago, Megan and I met on a comedy course together, and we've been...
Yeah, just sort of at it since then. So we took Neil Thornton's comedy course through the New Zealand Comedy School. And we did our first, so at the end of 4 weeks, you do a graduation show, and that was February 13th last year. So we've been doing this for just over a year now.
Oh, amazing. And Neil is part of our Rainbow Whānau, eh?
Yeah, he sure is, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, cool. Which I guess, well, I mean, certainly to me would make a huge difference if I was sharing stuff about my life and stepping into that vulnerable space. Is there a lot of queer people who do that course?
I think so. I think it's a course, obviously, open to everyone and everyone does it. But it does... foster you to grow your comedy skills in a way that feels, you know, very nurturing and safe for queer people.
Mm, amazing. And what is it like at the beginning? Is everyone terrified or is everyone like, I've done this in my bedroom 1,000 times and I'm ready to share?
I think everyone's pretty scared.
Personally, I was, yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, no, it can be pretty daunting to get up. But he does these sort of tasters right before he starts the course. So it's usually a Sunday afternoon, and it's koha, and so you go for a few hours and sort of get a feel for it. And I got a couple of laughs at that course, which prompted me to then sign up for the full 4 weeks, which was good. So it's a bit addictive, this comedy thing.
The high from making someone laugh, very good. And because when I was a kid, I wanted to be an actor, and my parents were like, no, now I'm an artist. So it kind of didn't really work out so well for them. But that sort of, I'm always interested in that warm-up scenario, you know, where you're like, I imagine, you know, all of these people going to this course and everyone's nervous. But there are those kind of exercises, hey, that sort of move us from one space to another space.
Yeah, so I think one of my favorite aspects of doing comedy is being in green rooms. Mm. So in the green room, you've got everyone who's about to get on stage, and everyone is having their own personal freak out. And if you are in the same green room with the same people often enough, you start to get a feel for, oh, okay, that person's just doing their lunges, and this person's like doing some shadow boxing and whatever. And everyone's got sort of different ways to get ready to get on stage. My personal thing is just reminding myself that I'm not funny and never have been until I get on stage and remember that I am and I'm okay at this.
I just stand in the corner and talk to myself.
Yeah. Yeah, that would make a really good comedy skit, actually, wouldn't it? Like that behind the scenes into the green room.
Yeah, some people's warm-ups are easier to be around than others.
Because often those spaces are also quite small. So I imagine there's a lot going on.
Yeah, definitely. Not everyone's great with personal space. Most people are, to be fair. Like the comedy community has been really, really lovely to me. And
call them out, Megan.
It's okay. He lives in Norway.
And it is a real comedy community, isn't it, from what I've heard. The people that I know who've done that course are suddenly doing gigs and they've got other friends who are doing it, and that there's quite a lot of opportunities here in this relatively small city to be courageous and get up on the stage.
Yeah, for sure. And I don't think that's an accident. I think we've got some really amazing people in this community who are leading this community and fostering those opportunities for new comedians and creating really welcoming and positive spaces, which I'm really grateful for.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel really, I've thought a lot about sort of the nature of our community, and I think often comedy is sort of seen as this really male-dominated thing, and I think in some ways it is, even in Wellington. However, I think that in terms of community and belonging, I think that people who are women, queer, genderqueer, et cetera, I think that we've got a much tighter kind of core. And I have been really, really lucky to be supported by some really wonderful people in that space. And I talk sometimes about how, you know, when you're in a green room with a bunch of women, a bunch of queer folks, it can feel a bit like the women's restroom at, you know, 1 a.m. Like, no, you're the best. No, you're the best. Dump him. and I'm really so like. Male comedians, like cishet male comedians, often get different opportunities than women do, although I think that there are opportunities for women and queer folks, certainly. And so they have sort of a different public-facing experience, I think, of comedy. Mm. But in terms of the community and kind of green rooms and behind the scenes, I feel really lucky to be in that space. It feels really lovely.
And I feel so, as an audience member, I feel so grateful to be able to see myself and see ourselves, and also on stage see how funny we are. Like, we know that we're funny because we hang out with each other and we go out and we laugh together, right? I'm 48, and when I was growing up, that was not, that was not represented on stages or on TV. It was that, yeah, as you say, that kind of white cishet, mostly sort of comedian scene. And I always remember, you know, when Ghostbusters 3 came out, and it was so funny. And now I can't remember the amazing comedian's name with the blonde hair. You know, she was
Kate McKinnon.
Thank you. I was hoping one of you would know. Yeah, so Kate McKinnon, and there were all of these reviews on that. What's it called? Like Rotten Tomatoes website, film reviewing. And, guys just literally going like, women are not like that. That was so over the top. That was so unrealistic. And me and all of my friends were like, what are they saying? I spent the whole movie going, that's just like my mate so-and-so. Oh, that's just like so-and-so. Whoa, she even looks like so-and-so. And kind of while I was watching the movie, all of these really funny scenes from my life were kind of playing out of real women, real non-binary and trans people being hilarious. So, it was quite sobering to hear that in, you know, recent years, kind of like, oh, this is unrealistic. It just reminded me of how much acting there must be going on for the women that they're around to hold it all in. And like you say, what's happening in the bathrooms or at home or at our parties or whatever it is.
Yeah, one of my jokes references how there's a lot of performance involved in being a straight woman, like hair and makeup and complaining about your husband just enough to be relatable, but not so much that people get worried, you know. I find that a lot of my comedy ends up being commentary on sort of cishet mainstream society by way of a kind of running it through my own kind of gender failure filter, which I find really fun. I'm a PhD student in my off time when I'm not doing comedy. And so I find that there's a lot of overlap between the sociology that I'm studying at work and what I'm ending up doing on stage. And a lot of it does end up being about, like, do people not see how absurd all of this is? It's a lot of fun.
Oh, that sounds very exciting. Yeah, I have found that because I have these sort of like individual straight women friends who are like very dear friends. We've been friends for a couple of decades, etc. But what I have learned is that we are all good when it's the two of us, but I must not go to like parties or baby showers or whatever where there is like groups of straight cis women, and that's where that kind of performance theatre starts to play out. And I'm like, especially around men, I'm like, well, why isn't anyone just telling them that you don't want them to behave like that or kicking them out? Or I'm like, if this was a bunch of dykes, they would be gone. Mm-hmm. Like, this would just not be happening. So it's very much a kind of alternative reality. Mm. So you have a show coming up in the Fringe Festival, and I've already been admiring the amazing makeup which is on this poster, which potentially could relate to gender failure. I'm not sure. It seems like quite fabulous to me. So your show is called Bad Girls, and this is happening, actually opening on my birthday, thank you, March the 4th to Saturday, March the 7th. At Circus Bar. So, how did this show begin? Where did it start from?
Well, I suppose we both wanted to do a show in the Fringe Festival, but as people have been doing this for less than a year, it'd be very daunting to try and draw a crowd on our own and write 60 minutes of jokes that we felt comfortable sharing with everyone. So Megan approached me and said, do you want to do it together? And I said, yes, please. Mm.
Yeah, great.
Yeah, Anna, I think Anna's one of my favorite comedians on the scene at the moment, you know, just generally. And we have fairly similar styles. We're pretty deadpan. It doesn't sound like a compliment, but we're pretty low energy. And so it was important when I was thinking about who I would want to do a show with, making sure that I didn't have a weird mismatch. Mm-hmm. And Anna and I fit really well together. We're a good comedy team as well. Like we work well together behind the scenes, which is really nice. Yeah, our show has like each of us sort of have our own kind of style, our own lanes, but a lot of overlap. So we both do some comedy about neurodivergence. There's stuff about being queer, and then there's sort of the queer sensibility kind of running through mm-hmm. everything, regardless of the actual content. There's sort of that queer sensibility all the way through. And yeah, so Anna is the brains behind all of our promotional material. She's the brains behind the amazing makeup. I think we can call it amazing.
You can. I did it, so I won't. But you know, go on.
it was a very fun shoot. Anna had one of their good friends. I don't know what kind of dirt they've got on the friend, but this friend keeps showing up to take photos of us, which is wonderful because we get photos like this. And so we went to a public washroom on the Vic University campus, which is sadly now being renovated, so it won't look like this much longer. And yeah, just had a few hours of being silly in front of mirrors with makeup. And one of my favorite moments from that shoot was the photographer at one point told us that we should look feminine, and both of us sort of glitched. Mm. I really wish we had video of that.
Yeah, so the show's called Bad Girls, and that's based on one of Megan's jokes about how, you know, we're bad at being girls. And so we wanted to get that across in the image for the show. So if you haven't seen it, it's the two of us in oversized suits trying to put on makeup, and we've got big washes of colour on our face. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, I think you're probably a bit too young to remember Tammy Faye, but she was a formative influence in my childhood. Tammy Faye Baker, with giant giant eyeshadow up to her yeah, very overpainted eyebrows. So, yeah, so just a lot of our stuff is about how bad we are at kind of meeting a lot of norms, I would say, but certainly gender being one of them. Mm. Yeah.
Mm. It's such a wonderful title because, I mean, even if you're a cishet person, it is so, I mean, it's an impossible task, right, to be a good, perfect, whatever a girl is supposed to be. And the amount of effort that it takes and the amount of time that it that it takes to look like that, or like I do lots of different kinds of things for work, and sometimes I have to look smart for my work. So I have a whole separate wardrobe, which is a work wardrobe, and I iron everything, and I comb my hair, and I put some kind of makeup on my face. And then I say to my partner, how do I look? And they're like, scruffy. So something is still coming out even when I'm not wearing op shop clothes and I've combed my hair. Mm. So I think we might just have another song to give us a little moment to breathe. So this is the amazing Diva Mahal. And if you don't know her music, again, please go and look her up. She lives here in Whanganui Atara. She is, absolutely incredible musician and performer. And last time we went to see her, which was kind of mid last year, she released this EP, and that there was a new record coming out soon. So I am in the process of scrunching up my courage to ask her to come in and do an interview at some point on the Femme Rants show. So this song is called Will Anything Change?
honesty. Truth ain't what you believe. You gotta show your receipt.
Kia ora, welcome back. You are at the Quilted Bananas radio program and we are on Access Radio 106.1 FM and our kaupapa and show is supported by the Rural Foundation, who are amazing funders. So if you are looking for support for your creative projects, your queer projects, they're really wonderful to look up. And part of what they fund is under Rainbow Health, so health and well-being. So as we know, it is good for our health and well-being to be included, be represented, and yeah, hear our voices on the airwaves. So thank you to the Rural Foundation. Now, I am here today with two fantastic guests, Anna and Megan, and we are talking about their comedy show, Bad Girls, as in that they are bad at being girls, like I think many of us are, and perhaps that is just a fabulous gender category, isn't it? Mm. Bad girls, bad at being girls.
I don't hate it.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, if I had that label, it would have saved me a lot of trouble growing up.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So much energy, gets wasted trying to perform to something that... Well, I just was reading Judith Butler saying that it's a copy of from which there is no original. Like it doesn't exist.
Right. Sense. Yeah.
It's a great little quote. But just before we jump back to your fantastic show, I thought that I could ask what your recommendations are for maybe some other queer shows in either the Fringe Festival or also the Pride Festival, which is, of course is coming up soon.
Yeah.
Yeah. One, I'm very sad that I won't be able to attend because all their shows conflict with ours will be Jack Darling's Floozy.
Mm.
Great.
Yeah, I'm also quite sad about that. So I think they're running from the 5th to the 7th because I ran into them and they said they might be able to make our first night, which would be very wonderful. And they're frequent, but not this run, comedy partner Booth the Clown has their last show tonight at the Newtown Community Center. I believe it's at 7 p.m. and that show is called Kissing Booth. I'm headed there later today and I'm really excited about it. And then Ginge and Minge, friends of ours. And
oh, yes. I've seen one of their shows.
They are amazing, both on stage and off. Last night I saw Mog's solo show, Night Ferals, which was amazing. But sadly, last night was its last run, so you'll have to catch it another time. But they are doing a show called Redemption, and that's at Bats at 6:30 p.m. I think it's from the 4th to the 7th. It might be the 3rd to the 7th, but it's the same week that we're doing it, so I won't be able to see it. You should go for it.
And then, of course, the amazing Lily Catastrophe is doing a burlesque show on March the 7th.
Great.
And that is at The Gods.
Yeah, at 9 p.m. So I'll also be there if you want to come say hi.
There's something really quite fabulous about going to two shows in a night as well, hey? Like something at 7 till 8 and then eating something and then going to something else at 9. Yeah. Oh, that's very exciting. I have scribbled all of those down and we will put them on our website, whānau, so that on the Facebook page so that you can go and book yourself some shows. But just in case, again, we love having recommendations for the day that, you know, the radio show is on. Mm. So we're encouraging people to, you know, get up and go and do something today. So that was Kissing Booth.
Yes.
With Booth the Clown.
Booth the Clown, yep.
Which is happening at the Newtown Community Centre at 7 o'clock tonight. And the Newtown Community Centre has, you know, recently been done up and it is just absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah. Such great space to watch a show in.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Friends of ours do a roughly monthly show called Air Horn, which is, I think, one of the best produced shows in Wellington. It's absolutely incredible. The production values, the talent, just all of it. It's an experience.
If you like weird stuff.
Yeah.
I do like weird stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. It's always weird.
You never know what you're going to get.
They did one recently a couple of months ago where I forget what it was called. It would have been November, I think, but it was basically about they'd done a very intense election show, and so they were bringing it down a notch, and so everything was very like calm and quiet and very relaxing. Except I was so on edge because I was just waiting for the jump scare, and there wasn't one. And I think I'm almost recovered from the tension that they created by being too relaxed.
Wow, amazing. So there are a lot of shows coming up to go and see, and it is a great time to go out and see shows when the world is falling apart around us. Our artists are the people who can help us feel things, have a break, have a laugh, work out what's happening, and be together in community. So certainly for my mental health and well-being, the worst thing I can be doing is staying at home scrolling on my phone. The best thing I can be doing is going out and experiencing creativity and the conversations that happen after that. So that's always going to be my recommendation, is trying to leave the house and go and see some live art and support our artists and our beautiful venues. So let's get back to bad girls being bad at being girls, obsessed. So in your amazing little blurb for your show, which are so difficult to write, aren't they, where you have to get everything into that little tiny bit of text. I'm very lucky. My partner, Creek, is an editor, so I write all of this waffle and then they just go, that's what I meant to say. Exactly that. I just didn't quite get there. So in that, you mentioned something about Brooke Van Velden and one of our other presenters, Sue, last night was like, that sounds interesting. So just for you, Sue, can you tell us a bit about that part of the show?
I just think she's so interesting.
Yeah, yeah. Why is she interesting?
Well, the thing is, you know, everyone's talking about AI. They're saying, you know, it's mm-hmm. it's impossible to tell the difference between AI and a real person. Mm. But I've never mistaken Brooke Van Velden for a real person.
Mm. Yep. Yeah. I know really a number of people who are very fascinated by her. We had another guest in here who was doing this massive deep dive and knew someone who went to school with her, and so so whatever she is, she's quite fascinating.
Mm. Just absolutely fascinating energy. Yeah. I sort of similar feeling to, you know, like watching a train crash, you know, you just sort of can't look away.
Yeah, the whole the whole political scene feels slightly like a train crash that you can't look away from, hey?
Yeah, it's quite a good time to be an armchair psychologist, I think.
Yeah.
There's lots of material there.
Yeah, absolutely. And what was also in your description, something about a striptease, the weirdest striptease, the weirdest striptease you've ever seen?
Yeah, is so that right? That's my fault.
Good. Well done.
Yeah, so when we were putting together our show, we were at my house and we were filling out all the forms online and we were talking about like content warnings, you know? Yeah. And so we decided we were talking about, you know, moderate language. And so I went to click that, but instead of clicking moderate language, I clicked moderate nudity and then I couldn't figure out how to unclick it. And so rather than having a conversation with a human, I said, oh, it's cool, I'll just do it.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
And so now it's been, I don't know, 3 or 4 months since we did that. And frankly, that problem and figuring out how to solve that problem has gotten more energy than the whole rest of my half hour. And so you will have to come on the day to see how I have solved that problem. If you know me and are worried about seeing more than you've signed up for, you're going to be fine. You're going to be fine.
It's a very, very interesting area, isn't it? Because, like, I run queer and trans drawing class, and I have for a decade. And when that co-pupper first started, it was in our lounge and just with friends and this curiosity about what is it like if we're drawing each other, you know, and if that's our space and what is different, what happens. And what we noticed, one of the things that we noticed doing it in our lounge is that we all just modeled, different people modeled, but the people who were modeling were all the femme people, right? Mm. And that was happening each time. And then me and my partner noticed and they were like, oh, you know, I'll model. This is, you know, butchers not, you know, like sitting back and letting the femmes do the work kind of thing. So they did modeling and then another friend, right, you know, you do some modeling. And as soon as this person stood up, I realized what was happening because they were like, what do I do? How do I hold my body? Mm-hmm. And it completely shifted from, people aren't bothering to no way. This is a hugely vulnerable space. And I kind of went, oh, yeah, that's right. Because femmes, the feminine, you know, has been represented through the whole of art history, not in ways that we want necessarily to be represented, you know, often very passive, lying on a sofa, you know, but there is this huge language of representation there and how to sit and how to stand and how to model your body. And so suddenly we were in this really amazing creative queer and trans space inventing, you know, going, oh, well, okay, you work as a security guard. Stand how you stand as a security guard. Okay, we'll draw. Oh, we've been to Queer and Trans Fight Club. Right, okay, maybe some of those poses. And it was incredible. It was like a completely new language.
Yeah, it's so interesting. So when I was talking about us like glitching when the photographer told us to act feminine, I thought that was a really fascinating moment because, yeah, I just, like, I certainly was socialized to be feminine, you know, but there's something. A friend of mine, his name is Mark Henriksen. He's a professor emeritus now, I think. But he's got this theory of queer indigeneity. And his theory is that one thing that links all queer people across the globe is that there's something in our tiny little queer bodies that as we're being socialized, it knows, oh, I think you might be wrong about this. You know, everyone's trying to layer on different kinds of, you know, like cis socialization, straight socialization, et cetera. And there's something in our tiny queer bodies that sort of has some kind of resistance, you know? And so then when we get older and we learn about ourselves and we realize that we are in some way not what people expected, then it kind of, you know, sows doubt in other things that everyone is so certain about. And so we become quite skilled question askers. But it is really funny. Like I definitely am aware of my body. Like I'm I'm very queer looking, and so depending on the situation, sometimes I look like a young man. I always look queer when you get close enough, and so depending on, like, I notice my body, I think, most at night when I'm walking home. Mm. So if I'm walking toward someone that I perceive as a cis man, I definitely sort of square up my shoulders and become a bit more masculine than I think I am in general. And then if I'm walking behind someone that I perceive as a cis woman, then I am very aware of looking like a man and trying to make sure that this person's experience of me being around isn't scary or isn't, threatening in any kind of way. But one thing that I'm not good at is figuring out how to move my body in ways that are expected of me in terms of being a woman.
Thank you so much for sharing that. And it illustrates that those ways that we're changing and shifting and holding our bodies in different ways to protect ourselves and to protect other people, and how exhausting that is, rather than just I'm relaxed in my body. So just a call out to listeners. I have a vision of, being able to do everything in queer and trans community. So if there are any queer and or trans yoga teachers out there, or massage therapists, or people who are working in that body space where we can go and feel good and safe in our bodies, I would love to have conversations and lift up what you're doing for our communities. Now, I'm just going to do a little plug for another Fringe show for a moment. You will be able to re-listen to this show as a podcast and get your pencils out and write down all of these shows that you're going to book and go and see, or put them into your notes app on your phone. So this show is by Sissy Rock, who is a really amazing community connector and facilitator and just really quite a brilliant people person. And she also has this practice of doing what's called psychodrama, which sounds scary because it has psycho in it, but it's actually very fun and a really amazing way to kind of reflect on our relationships together and stuff that's happening in the world. She is doing a show every year in the Fringe, exploring this area, and she writes, this year I'm really working with connections, the idea that there's only one or two degrees of separation between us in Aotearoa, and wondering what if it wasn't about people that we have in common, but experiences that we have in common. What would it be like to bring a group of people together and draw out those shared experiences and play with them in action? So her examples are loving school, or feeling hopeful, or enjoying the Victoria Beckham documentary. And as you've been listening to here, we're all feeling connected over the thinking about being bad at being a girl. So that's bringing us together. So I guess that's the kind of thing that Sissy is looking at. But in psychodrama, it's like played out, kind of as theatre. It's a really powerful and fun experience. So the show is called Closer Than You Know. It's in the Fringe Festival, and it's on the 26th, 27th and 28th of February. And there's a 2-for-1 deal. So tickets, oh wow, look at that. So tickets work out at about $5 each. $5 each, whānau. And she's made a video, so we'll pop that on the Facebook page as well to get along to that. I also have to do a plug for my two events in the Pride Festival, one of which is Queer and Trans Drawing Club on March the 22nd at Hutt Art Centre. You do not have to be amazing at drawing or have done drawing since you were a kid, which lots of people haven't. We draw an amazing model from our community. It's fun, it's friendly, it's welcoming. We have snacks and I guide a range of drawing exercises to start us off and get us going. And then we do timed poses. And it's 3 hours on a Sunday afternoon. So it's kind of like the queer and trans version of like Sunday afternoon painters, and it's very lovely. So that is in the Pride Festival, and my other event is on March the 14th, Saturday, March the 14th. It's called Protection Connection, and it is a live studio happening. So it's at my studio, and it is an invitation to come in and view a sculptural installation that I am building, which will only exist for that day. So it's just for you, the people who come along, and it what it's about in terms of content is about how we as queer, trans, non-binary people, we need to protect ourselves, just like you were saying about how you walk on the street, but we also need to connect with each other. So how do we negotiate both of those things, both of those needs at the same time? There'll be art on display, drawings and sculptures that you can see. You can see where I work, make my creativity, and I will also be offering a performance of poetry at that time. So they are 1 hour sessions. There's 3 on that day, and there are just 10 people who can come to each session. So no my Heidi Mai. It's in the Pride Festival, and I'll pop that link up on our Facebook page as well. So back to Bad Girls. Who is this show for? Who should be coming to see this show, do you think?
As many people as possible.
Yeah, yeah.
Obviously, it's filtered through our experience as queer people, so if you're queer, there's a lot to get out of it. But I think there's a lot to get out of it if you're anyone, I think.
Yeah, I think lots of people can get something out of it. I think that I definitely noticed that when I am performing to not specifically queer audiences. So Neil Thornton runs a queer comedy show monthly called Campground at Ivy Bar. And so that's sort of a space where it's all queers all the time. And if non-queers are welcome, but they're not the audience, the target. But most of the time I'm performing to sort of mixed straight and cis audiences, and I notice that straight women tend to really like my stuff, I think, because I make a few digs at straight men. So yeah, sort of women and queer folks generally. But I think that we've both been nominated for a few awards, including Best New Comedian at the Wellington Comedy Fest. I won that, but
I didn't.
It's a good balance.
Yeah. So we have demonstrated that we're quite skilled comedians. So I think that if you want to come along for a laugh, you will definitely get a laugh at our thing, at our show. And but yeah, certainly I think we are there for the femmes and the thems, I think.
And anyone who feels a bit uncomfortable in their skin sometimes.
Yes, which is all of us, hey? And I really love how you talk about all kinds of women enjoying your work, because that's certainly my experience too. At our home, we regularly get visits from women going, "What should I do about this and that?" And it's like, yeah, come and ask the dykes, because we're going to give you a straight answer.
Honestly, if you want anything done, find a lesbian.
Wonderful. So your show is on, again, my birthday, Whanau, so Wednesday the 4th of March to Saturday the 7th of March. It's at 7 o'clock. It's $20 full price and $15 concession. And it's at Circus Bar. Now, can you please tell me where Circus Bar is?
So on Allen Street.
Oh, yes.
Just off Courtney Place, so right in the middle of things, across the street from Fringe Bar, so easy to catch a 9 o'clock show at Fringe Bar after you see us.
Oh yes, fun! And there's eateries around there as well, so
lots of great place to eat.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's a great time to, you know, get off work, have a leisurely dinner with some friends, come to our show, have a drink, please have a drink, and then maybe catch another show afterwards.
Oh, amazing. Well, we're nearly, I think, at the end of our show for today. But thank you so much for coming in and having a wonderful, wide-ranging kōrero with me.
Thank you so much for having us. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, it's been great to be here. Thank you so much.
Yeah, oh, you're welcome. And yeah, I hope you've written out down everything that you need to book. But if you haven't, it will all be on the Facebook page for you to buy tickets and get ready to go to all these amazing shows. And I think, have we got time to go out with a 20 seconds of Tomboy by the Top Twins? We might just squeeze in a few notes of that.
That program was brought to you by Wellington Access Radio. Get your voice heard. Thanks New Zealand On Air for funding accessmedia.nz.